Thank you. I used the reflection off the door to make sure my slides were going the right way, just so you know. I need the doors closed. All right. Well, folks, today we're going to start with some more congregational participation. Fun! Today, as we continue to talk about who is this guy, I'm going to show you some pictures. Some pictures of ordinary children who grew up to be someone famous. And you get to guess who the people are, which means you have to say something. Now, Erin was here Thursday. She's going to keep your mouth shut. She knows all the answers. So are you ready to play Who Is This Kid? Here we go. First one. Who's that little boy sitting at the desk with the great haircut staring at you? Anyone want to make a guess?
Gates.
Excellent. What a good group. You are one for one. Wonderful. That little kid grew up to be Bill Gates. I think now the second richest man in the world. All right. This sweet looking girl petting her puppy dog.
Not Michelle Obama.
Not Michelle Obama. No.
Oh my gosh.
Lady Gaga. All right. All right, next one. This little boy with the killer haircut, just like I had.
George Clooney. Yes.
Oh, you guys are good. Yes. Him, you know. Okay. And, Kate, talk about looking like your dad. Look at his dad. That's George Clooney. That's his dad. That is pretty amazing. All right, next one. So you are two for three. This young girl with a big smile. Gotta be loud. That's what I said, Pastor
Renee
Paul.
Renee Fleming.
What?
Renee Fleming.
No.
Betty White.
No.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Okay. Now, this next one is older. Who is this adorable little girl with the dress and the long hair? Who did that little girl grow up to be? Anyone? President Theodore Roosevelt. All right. And one more, okay? The boy in the middle in the baseball cap. Ah, somebody got it. Aaron Rodgers, very good. Who is this guy? You never know who someone is going to grow up to be. And today, we talk about a boy who grew up in the little town of Nazareth. In the Galilee, in northern part of Israel, in a little tiny town, a boy who grew up in obscurity. Now, Nazareth is never mentioned in the Old Testament. Nazareth actually isn't mentioned, I believe, except in the Gospels. That's how small a town Nazareth was. And in that small town of Nazareth, nearly 2,000 years ago, actually over 2,000 years ago, there was growing up a young boy in near total obscurity. If you're not aware, in the Gospels, there is only one story about Jesus from the time he is born till the time he begins his ministry around 30 years of age. And that's when he was 12 and his family went to Jerusalem for the Passover and Jesus stayed behind. It took his family 3 days to find him, and when they found him, he was in the temple asking questions of all the elders, amazing everyone with his knowledge. We do not know a whole lot about Jesus when he was growing up. We do know that his father, Joseph, was a carpenter. That is mentioned one time in the Gospels. There's also one mention in the Gospels where Jesus is called a carpenter. And it's not a very flattering statement. It's when Jesus is beginning his ministry and starting to say things about himself, and people go, this is just Jesus the carpenter. What is he doing calling himself a prophet? That's about all we know of Jesus. He grew up having an ordinary childhood as far as we know or don't know. We have known nothing about his education. There were no public schools back then. Perhaps you could go to the synagogue for education. We obviously know Jesus could read. There's one little reference to him writing in the Gospels. But Jesus grew up a completely ordinary, unremarkable person. Until he went to the waters of the Jordan River around the age of 30, and there he was baptized by John the Baptist. And then everything changed. Following Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The Holy Spirit is very important in these early stories about Jesus. And there in the wilderness, Jesus was tempted, and there he prepared for his ministry. But this was a solitary experience. No one else was with him. This was Jesus himself preparing for his ministry. And he comes out of the wilderness, and he starts. And this was the first line in our gospel for today. And then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee. And a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. And he gets a big response. He suddenly goes from a nobody to someone who is very famous. And everyone is impressed. And so after he begins his ministry, what does he do next? He goes home. He goes back to Nazareth, where he grew up. Now, we don't know how long he'd been away from Nazareth at the beginning of his ministry, but he goes back. We don't know why. Did he go back to see his family? Did he go back to rest up after everything that had happened? Eat a little bit after his temptation time? Did he go to spend some time with his family? We don't know any of that, but we know this because Luke tells us the story, that he went to the synagogue in Nazareth as was his custom. And there Jesus is honored because now the nobody is someone famous. He is honored as the leaders of the synagogue ask him to read the Torah scroll in worship. And Jesus is handed the scroll, as you saw in Katie's message, the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And he unrolls it and he finds the passage he wants. He picks the text he reads. These words from Isaiah 61 about the hope and the relief and the promise God gives to his people after their captivity in Babylon. The words that Jesus reads. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. He has sent, my text changed on me there, it should be black. Sorry if you can't see that very well. To let the spirit, the oppressed, go free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then we're told that the eyes of all in the synagogue were upon him. Everyone is staring at Jesus. And he says this, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. These words have come true in me, said Jesus. So what happened? Well, if only the story would have ended right there, folks, it would have been a lot different. But there's more to the story. There's more to the text. We only had read part of it in the gospel this morning. More things happen after Jesus says that. The first thing is the congregation goes, whoa! We are told they all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. Local boy makes good. Everyone is impressed with Jesus. And then somebody says, is not this Joseph's son? Now, there's two ways of taking that sentence. One, the people could be going enthusiastically, whoa, isn't this Joseph's son? This is amazing. Look at him now. Or they could have said it like this. Hey, wait a minute. Isn't that Joseph's kid? We know him. What does he think he's saying to us? And one more time. If Jesus... You ever had that time where you just should have kept your mouth shut? Anyone ever experienced that in your life? Just shouldn't have said anything. If Jesus would have just kept his mouth shut, things would have been so differently. But he did not keep his mouth shut. Because he says to his audience, surely you are going to quote to me, Doctor, heal yourself. A famous passage in Greek and Jewish ancient cultures. Which basically means, Jesus says, you're going to say to me, why don't you do the miracles here in Nazareth, Jesus, that we've heard you've been doing everywhere else? Why don't you prove it to us who you are? And then Jesus goes on by saying, truly I tell you that no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. Nobody's going to believe me because you're think you know me, says Jesus. And he tells them a story from the Old Testament about the prophet Elijah, who doesn't do anything in his hometown either because of the people's disbelief. And so how does Jesus' brief little message end? Not really well, folks. Because we are told that the people in the synagogue were so furious at him that they grabbed him, they dragged him to the end of town. Nazareth is built on a hillside with a steep cliff on it. And they were going to toss him over the cliff. That's not how you want your sermons to end, just so you know. And Jesus, we are told, passes through the middle of them, and he goes away. It is a classic message of, that could have gone a little better. That could have gone a little better. Controversy. We all know about controversy. We know about controversial people, controversial experiences in our world today, such as this week in Washington, D.C., where a high school field trip turned into something quite controversial. And controversy, there's nothing new about controversy under the sun. What happened in Washington, D.C. this past week? It has always happened. It will always happen. Actions will always be controversial. People will always be controversial. And one of the interesting things about controversial people is they'll always have someone for them, and they'll always have someone against them. It's nothing new, and we have to keep that in mind. When we think of President Abraham Lincoln, we think of the great honored man, the most amazing president, along with George Washington, at the top of the American pantheon. But Abraham Lincoln was one of the most controversial presidents we have ever seen. Don't think so. This is an editorial cartoon from 1864, depicting President Lincoln as a monkey holding a dead rat. You think he wasn't controversial? I share that because Jesus of Nazareth is probably the most controversial person who has ever lived. No one was controversial like Jesus. This controversy begins at the very beginning of his ministry. When Jesus is 40 days old, he is brought to the temple in Jerusalem by his parents, and there's an elderly man named Simeon who's in the temple. God had told Simeon, "You will not die until you see God's Savior." When he sees Jesus, he takes him from Mary's arms, and he says these words about this baby. "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed." Jesus' whole life and ministry will be controversial, such as in the Gospels, Jesus heals a lame man, or there's a man who's lowered through the roof. He's paralyzed. And Jesus, before he heals the man, he forgives his sins, and the Pharisees and the religious leaders say, "Who is this who's speaking blasphemies, daring to forgive sins?" Jesus and his disciples were once walking through the field on the Sabbath day, and they did something innocent. They reached out, they grabbed some grain, shucked it, popped it in their mouth. And the Jewish leaders accused him of breaking the Sabbath laws, of harvesting on the Sabbath. Jesus was known for the miracles, the exorcisms he performed. And his enemy said, "The only reason he's driving out demons is he's possessed by the chief demon, Beelzebul, himself." You know the stories of the people Jesus ate with, eating with sinners and tax collectors. And again, the righteous religious leaders say, "How could this man do something so horrible?" The story where the woman comes to Jesus and she washes his feet with her hair and the costly ointment. And his guest at the meal says, "You know what? If he really were special, he'd know what kind of woman this is. She is a sinner." Jesus didn't just do controversial things. He said controversial things, such as the verse we heard today, "No prophet is accepted except in his hometown." He said controversial things, which we maybe don't even think are controversial. The Beatitudes. Okay, we all know the Beatitudes. So how sweet. "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the peacemakers." Those are really nice and sweet. But when you take a close look at them, you'll find out there's some pretty controversial things in the Beatitudes, such as the last one. "Blessed are you when men hate you and exclude you and revile you and cast you out as evil for the Son of Man's sake." I don't think I like that very much if that's the cost of following Jesus Christ. And what did Jesus say about our enemies? Now, every one of us, we've got someone, at least one person in our lives who doesn't like us, and we maybe have someone we don't like. Some people, well, today you don't have political opponents, you have political enemies, right? What did Jesus say about our enemies? He says we're to love our enemies. He said we're to pray for them. We're to do good things for them. And you know what? A lot of people don't like hearing that. It's too controversial. Jesus is the one who says if someone hits you on one cheek, you turn the other to him as well. My former congregation, I had the mother of two big teenage boys saying, I can't teach that to my kids. I cannot tell my boys to do that. If someone hits you on one cheek, you deck them. I can't follow what Jesus says. Controversial. Says Jesus, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. That's not controversial at all, is it? We can all live with that. Jesus said sin is very, very serious. Jesus said, you know what? If you want to be number one, you've got to be last. If you want everyone to serve you, says Jesus, you've got to be the servant of all. If you want to save your life, you have to lose it for my sake. Controversial. And Jesus had a knack for getting the people who didn't like him even more angry with him. He compares the Pharisees, he calls them hypocrites, and then he compares them to whitewashed tombs. He said, you look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside you are filled with death and destruction and all the icky, yucky stuff. He spends an entire chapter in Matthew talking about that. No wonder that Jesus' enemies plotted to kill him every opportunity they had. Jesus never read Dale Carnegie, did he? How to Win Friends and Influence People. Not Jesus. And here's an important thing for us all to remember. Jesus was not nailed to the cross because he was universally well-loved. He didn't end up on the cross because everyone thought he was such a swell guy. I believe Jesus of Nazareth is probably the most controversial person who has ever, ever lived. And so having gone through that litany of controversy, we go back to our question. Who is this guy? What do we say about this controversial Jesus? Well, I think our text today gives you and me some important things to share. Like Mark said, that we can share with others who are maybe too smart to believe in God or to accept what Jesus has to say. This is what the Gospels tell us about Jesus. That he was led by the Spirit. The Spirit of God was totally imbued in Jesus. Everything he said, everything he did was led by the power of the Spirit. When he stood up in the synagogue to preach on that day so long ago, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And as he went through that text from Isaiah, he said these things about himself. He said, "God's Spirit has anointed me." And the word anointed is a very important word for us today, because the Greek word for anointed and the Hebrew word for anointed are words that are very common in our faith vocabulary. The Greek word for anointed is Christos, Christ. The Hebrew word for anointed is Messiah. In ancient Israel, kings weren't crowned, they were anointed with oil. And when Jesus declares himself God's anointed one, the Christ, the Messiah, he says, I am the one God has sent to the world. To do what? He has sent me to bring good news. He has sent me to release those who are captive in this world and those who are captive to the power of sin. He has sent me to give sight back to the blind, those who are actually blind and those who are spiritually blind as well. God has sent me, he has poured his Spirit upon me to bring freedom. To bring freedom to a world that is in bondage to the power of evil. And Jesus says, God is the one who has sent me to proclaim the year of God's favor. The kingdom of God, as Jesus talked about. That is who this guy is. And that is what this guy is all about. Then and now, it is all the same. This is Jesus. And that's controversial. And that's controversial, folks. And that's why a lot of people spend their time scratching their heads and wondering, who is this guy? And that's why every one of us, we need to scratch our heads. We need to ask that question. And we need to come up with our answer. And for those of us who are Christians, for those of us who take the words of John 3:16, you've heard several times during this sermon series, who take those words seriously, we know who this guy is. He is God's son. He is the beloved one. He is the physical embodiment of God's love and power and forgiveness that has come to the world. He is the one in whom you and I and all people are to believe. As he said to doubting Thomas on the week after Easter, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. He is the one who brings new life, new hope to us in this our walk of daily life. And he is the one who brings us eternal life. So as we close these 3 weeks asking the question, who is this guy? Here's my answer. He's Jesus. And there has never been, nor will there ever be, anyone else like him. And thanks be to God for that.